Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, a very special edition of the podcast, I might add. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. And Jim, it's special for two reasons. Obviously, number one, tomorrow is Election Day, and everything we've been talking about pretty much since we started this podcast will come to a head tomorrow, hopefully in a good way, but in one way or another. The other news is, and this is a little bit bittersweet, of course, is that Jim helped guide us all the way to the finish line, but he won't actually be with us on Election Day or the day after, and actually will be out throughout the National Review cruise throughout next week. So today's the last day Jim will be with us for a while, so we're going to go through state by swing state and take a look at the Senate and House complexions as well and give our fearless predictions. Jim, there's a handful of swing states. If you take a look at the itineraries of the four candidates here, Romney, Ryan, Obama, and Biden, it's not hard to figure out what they are. 270 needed to win. Go through where you think these critical states are going to come down and what your final electoral college is looking like.
I'm feeling better about things than I did earlier this weekend, but I think I still feel a great deal of anxiety. So let me get through the states that aren't giving me heartburn at this hour. I think Romney's going to do fine in Florida. There's been a little bit of talk that Obama was starting to turn things around and picking up speed with the non-Cuban Hispanics. There's a new poll out that has Romney up by like 5 or 6, and you don't see the enormous amount of efforts being put into there. Virginia, our home state, I should be more nervous about this, but the only polls that have Obama ahead comfortably are PPP, which public policy polling has consistently had more Democrats in their samples than they did in the 2008 exit polls, a scenario which I find implausible. And in some cases, they've had it way more, like 5 or 6 percentage points more than they did in Election Day 2008. So I'm very skeptical of that. So when I look at these states, I'm almost throwing out that example. Marist, which is doing polls for NBC, I believe that somebody ran through the numbers and found out that Obama has led 33 of the 34 swing state polls done by Marist in the past couple of weeks. You look at any other pollster, you'd say, well, you know, Obama's got up some days and has some good polls, and Obama is down others. Romney has good days and down. You know, in Marist, Romney only has bad days. So I don't know if you could say it's a structural issue that they're counting too many Obama voters, too many Democrats, too many early voters. I'm confident that Virginia will go for Romney. I don't know if it's narrowly or by a healthy margin. And the other state I feel pretty darn good about for Romney is Colorado. In that one, the early vote looks good for the Republicans. And, you know, this is a state that's kind of been souring on Obama throughout the entire cycle. You add all those up, that gets into about 257 electoral votes, Greg. And then it gets tough. So first of all, I want to stop and give you a chance to jump in and see if you disagree with any of my assessments there.
I have Florida, Virginia, and Colorado in the Romney column, along with a couple of smaller states. And you mentioned the PPP poll. In both of these states, they have Obama up by a very tiny margin, which means add 5, basically, to the Republican, or at least a swing of 5 points. And that's New Hampshire and Iowa. I wouldn't be shocked if they didn't one of them or even both didn't go to Romney. But I think that the trend is in a good direction. To me, it came down to 5 potential states, because that gets Romney to 267, 5 potential to get him over the top. And I don't see at least 4 of them going his way. And I think it's going to come down to a key state. So I'll let you swing back to your deciding factors there.
Sure. I guess I should step back and take a look at what I'm calling the mustache firewall.
Yes.
These are the 3 states that David Axelrod said that if Obama lost, he would shave his mustache. Pennsylvania, Minnesota, and Michigan. Bush came close in those states in 2000 and 2004. Yes, Obama won these by wide margins in 2008. I think we can now say that 2008 was kind of an unusual cycle, a perfect storm for Democrats. What I am currently projecting, and I very easily could be wrong here, is that I think if you add 1 percentage point to the best George W. Bush did in any of these states, the bad news is, Greg, that Obama still wins, or that he still has Romney less than 50%. I know the Obama campaign is nervous about turnout in those Philadelphia suburbs and in Philadelphia. So maybe we are seeing the perfect alignment of factors to bring Pennsylvania into the Republican column. If that does, I think this is, you know, game over. And I think Romney may be, you know, winning the Electoral College may not look all that close. But right now, I'm going to say, you know, Minnesota, Michigan, and Pennsylvania all stay in the blue column, but just by No mustache pun intended, just by a hair.
I think Pennsylvania will probably be the closest. I think it'll be very, very close there. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if Pennsylvania went for Romney. I think Minnesota and Michigan are bridges too far. Michigan especially because of the auto bailout. And I think that unfortunately bleeds over into Ohio. That is going to be excruciatingly close. And I see the national polls. I feel like it's either going to be extremely tight or Romney's just going to break the dam with turnout and just grassroots motivation. But I just don't know which one of those is going to be. I play the cards closer to the vest and give Ohio by a whisker to the president. And that leaves one state and one state only for me. And that's Wisconsin, which I think is going to be excruciatingly close as well. But I think all the grassroots work done with the Scott Walker recall and just a very motivated and involved voting base will help the Badger State go Republican for the first time since 1984. I won't be shocked if it doesn't, but my final vote total, 277-261, Mitt Romney.
I look at the polls in Ohio, and I toss out the ones that have what strike me as silly samples. The problem is that only one poll in recent weeks has had Romney ahead in Ohio. That was a Rasmussen poll about a week ago. And Rasmussen's most recent poll puts it at a 49% tie. Now, Friday night, Romney had a huge rally, something in the neighborhood of 30, 35,000 people showing up to that one. The Columbus Dispatch poll had Romney only down by 2 and said that he led in northwestern Ohio. For what it's worth, and we all know that campaigns can sometimes exaggerate when talking about factors looking in their favor, but the Romney campaign says that Republicans have 368,000 more, quote, high propensity voters available than Democrats, 72% more, in fact. In other words, basically they're saying that the Republican base in Ohio is much more motivated than the Democrat base in Ohio. Add all this up, I think it means Ohio is going to be very close. And I could see Romney winning by 1 or 2 percentage points. Here's one of the complications, though. John Fund has a piece on National Review Online this morning pointing out that everybody in the state of Ohio was given an application for an absentee ballot in the mail. If you show up on election day, you may have to fill out a provisional ballot, because they don't want to make anybody voting twice. It takes 1 week at least to sort out whether a provisional ballot is, you know, real or not. So the idea of not knowing who won Ohio on election night is now looking really plausible, Greg. If it comes down to Ohio, gee whiz, we may have a real horrific, nightmarish 2000 scenario in which we don't really have a winner on, you know, for a couple of weeks after election day. If the Romney campaign is accurate that they have 368,000 more voters than the Democrats, then, that'll be fine. They'll win by a good solid margin. And as you said, I agree with your assessment of Wisconsin. I think that even though the polls don't look great for Romney there, you've got Ryan, and Ryan knows how to win, but it's basically a swing district in Wisconsin year after year after year. You can't get the Republican base and the Republican turnout machine any more fine-tuned than it is in Wisconsin right now. You got to figure, you wonder if the Democrat brand took a certain bit of damage during all the fights and the recounts and the recall elections and all that stuff in Wisconsin. So I think Wisconsin turns red this year. You add all that up, it comes up to a narrow victory for Romney in the Electoral College. I will note that I am more worried about the Electoral College than I am about the popular vote. Mm-hmm. I really think that this is... If Romney loses, it's extremely likely, actually, we'll have a 2000 in reverse scenario. It may not be as close as it was in 2000. I think that you're going to see Romney drastically outperform McCain in the blue states. Not all that surprising, not the highest bar to clear. But you're also going to see Romney outperform McCain in the deep red states. A little while back, I had it in the 51 to 48 2000 level victory, a 3-point victory for Romney in the popular vote. But, you know, if that really gets pushed out and you see kind of the Chick-fil-A effect, you may very well see something closer to 52-48 or 53-47. Everyone seems to think, oh, the Electoral College and the popular vote really can't get that too far separate. And I'm not so sure about that. I think the idea of a solid Romney popular vote victory and a narrow Electoral College loss is very much in the cards here. And I can only imagine what that would mean for American politics afterwards. If you're an activist, get out there and be active. Get out there and vote. Go out and bring friends. Hopefully we'll have a quick, easy decision on election night tomorrow night.
My tip, as always, to anyone going to the polls, always take as much Democratic literature as possible so they run out and can't give it to people who might actually vote Democratic. And very quickly on the congressional side of things, Jim, I've got Republicans picking up five in the House. The Democrats have basically admitted to Politico that their attempt to scandalize Paul Ryan's Medicare plan has completely fizzled. They're suggesting publicly, even some of these guys, that they could lose a seat or two. So I say that's at least five, and that's the bottom of what the Republicans were suggesting, is to pick up a five seats. What's your take on the House?
I concur with that. I think it's hard to believe you'd have a big Republican turnout in the presidential race and not see that affect some of the House races. Gerrymandering is going to protect Democrats in some places like California and Illinois. But gerrymandering in other places like Florida is supposed to do fine, and, help Republicans balance that out. I think Alan West hangs on. I think Mia Love takes that seat in Utah, mm-hmm. creating the first African-American woman Republican in the House. And I think, we have Speaker Boehner for at least two more years. And, with these new district lines, the House may look quite Republican for quite some time.
Yeah, I think we'll pick up a couple in North Carolina. We'll pick up one in Oklahoma. Certainly Utah, as you mentioned. I think one in New York and maybe Georgia. Look for a couple of losses in Illinois. They'll probably get a couple of Democratic pickups in California. That's been radically redistricted. What used to be almost no competitive races, now there's a ton of competitive races there. Over to the Senate now. I hate to end on the downer, Jim. As I look at this, I see Republican pickups in Nebraska, North Dakota, Wisconsin. I see Romney falling just short in Pennsylvania, but I see Tom Smith taking out Bob Casey in Pennsylvania. That's my upset special. And I see Reberg winning in Montana. Republicans also hold seats in Arizona and Nevada. Democratic pickups certainly in Maine. I cringe but say Massachusetts because I don't want to see Elizabeth Warren in the Senate, but I fear it's going to happen. Bill Nelson tragically hangs on in Florida. Josh Mandel, I think, will fall just short in Ohio. And then that leaves a 49-48 Republican edge, but then the foot and mouth brigade of Aiken, Murdoch, and George Allen, unfortunately, will leave Harry Reid in charge of this august body.
I agree with almost all of that, Greg. The only thing I'm going to quibble a little bit with, I'm not so certain that Murdoch is as fatally damaged as some of the one poll, apparently because of the laws in Indiana. It's very tough to poll Indiana. Apparently, Scott Rasmussen is a fugitive from justice with his robo polls out there. Murdoch, I think it'll be closer than you'd expect to see in Indiana. But keep in mind, Mitt Romney's going to win this state by like 12 or 13 points.
Right.
I have a tough time seeing a ton of crossover votes for Donnelly, the Democrat, who barely hung on to his seat in the 2010 midterms. Obviously, he got a lucky break that people are trying to make Murdoch look like Aiken. Aiken, I think, is going to go down. And I think this is, going to be one of the great, much debated and regrettable moments of this campaign. And then here in Virginia, I'm going to guess that Tim Kaine wins. Tim Kaine is pretty underwhelming, and George Allen has run. There hasn't been any macaca moments in this campaign. part of it's the distraction of the presidential campaign. However, the polls tend to have, Kaine up by a little bit. Remember, George Allen lost his last bid by less than 1%. I think you can see something very much on par with that in this cycle.
Prove us wrong, America. Give the Republicans, the Senate, and Mitt Romney a bigger victory than we're hedging and very strongly hedging our bets on here. Jim, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll have many, many martinis to share on that day, because we'll still be in a pretty good mood if things go our way.
You think about it, in 2 weeks from now, Greg, I may still be hungover.
Jim, have a great time on your trips and on the NR cruise, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you in 2 weeks, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join Dan Foster of National Review and I tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch.